Good morning, Christian greetings to each one. Blessing to be here to worship with you and get to know the people here at Sunshine a little bit better. We were here one time before, but not on a Sunday morning. Kind of an emergency trip a couple years ago. And anyway, here we are this morning and blessing to be together and to worship the Lord in this way. And it's a beautiful thing in how God directs in our thoughts and our, in our thoughts this morning of how the Spirit lays upon our hearts what to share, not only here this right now, but in devotions and et cetera this morning as we think about the life that we face and how we face life. And the question is, how do we face life? Because we do face life. We face challenges in life. We face reverses in life. We face change of plans. We face difficulties. But how do we face these things? And I've observed how different people respond to circumstances of life. I've watched people face challenges and difficulties in life as a Christian, and I see faithfulness and I see rest. I've more lately been observing from a distance, I guess, of people that do not know the Lord and are not at rest in peace, but yet they face challenges and difficulties in life and how they respond to it. And to me, there's no questions on how I want to respond to it. Which camp do I want to be in? Do I want to be with Christ or without Christ? But we all do face life. You know, the things that we experience sometimes and we wonder now, so why this? What happened here? And sometimes we just have to say, you know what? That's life. Okay? That's life. We got to accept it. But you know what makes a difference in how we accept it? How we accept it. And so the question we want to consider this morning is, are we at rest with life? Are we at rest? I should maybe say in life. Sure, there's things in our lives we wish were different. We wish there was some things that would change. Things that we've been praying about for a long time. Things that we battle with a long time and we wish they would be different. But are we at rest? Are we at rest? Can we be at rest this morning in the midst of all that? First of all, as we talk about being at rest and being in rest, we need to first of all consider who we can rest in. Okay? We need to consider who we can rest in. So go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 is a beautiful passage, one of my favorites in the Old Testament. Because Isaiah asks a lot of questions here, and he puts an effort into trying us to get us to think about God and about life and about circumstances that we face in life. Things that are totally out of our control. You know, the only things we can really change is the things that are in our control, decisions that we make. But there's a lot of things that we cannot change. But here it asks some questions as we think about who we can rest in. We're talking about an almighty God. An almighty God. This isn't a God that is just greater than somebody else. Somebody that's greater and or about the same or... This is the Almighty God. There is nothing to compare. And that's what we're going to see here. Let's just jump in verse 12. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Now, this isn't talking about a cup of water, by the way. Okay? This is talking about the oceans and the seas and etc. Okay? Who hath meted out the heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure? and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he, who God, counsel? Who instructed in him? Who taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? You know, all of us were born with very, very little knowledge. Okay? We came in this world kicking and screaming, very selfish. But other than that, we really didn't even know what we were doing. But who taught God all these things? You know, you send your children to school. I understand there's, what, 5 first graders this year. And the reason they're going to school is because they lack knowledge. They don't know how to read, at least most times. Okay, most times, first graders go to school, they don't know how to read. So they go to school so they can learn these things. And there's a whole lot more to learn. And finally, at 8th grade, you know, they've learned everything, right? No, at 50, we're still learning. Okay, there's still a lot to learn. But we're talking about an almighty God here. And so the question is asked, so who taught him these things? We can't wrap our minds around it, because nobody did. He just knew these things, okay? He just knew these things. Words lack me to explain it. See, if I could really truly explain this, then I would be equal with God, but I'm not. There's no way possible as a frail human being can I describe him. But we try to catch a glimpse, and I think God allows us to catch enough of a glimpse of him that we recognize him as a sovereign, almighty, powerful God that we can rest in. Verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust of the balance. So, you know, the balance scale, okay? And so you put the weight on one end and your product on the other end. And so how particular were you going to be? Are you going to wipe the dust off to make sure that this thing is accurate? Balance scale isn't even that accurate, okay? Not that accurate. So the nations are kind of like the dust of the balance scale. And the Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations are before him as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. Now that's the nations. So what about you and I? What about you and I? And you and I sometimes struggle with feeling very insignificant. What value do we have in life? What value do we have to offer to anything? And here it says that the nations are, in comparison to God, as nothing. And so I'm only one in a nation, and so that's nothing. But let me tell you something this morning. If you're struggling with feeling very insignificant, you know, fact is we are insignificant in a way, but yet not really, not in God's eyes. He knows every one of us. Every one of us. He knows exactly what we're facing. He knows exactly what we need and what we're struggling with. You, me, individually, he knows that. Even though in comparison to him, we're less than nothing. Okay? But that's how precious we are in his sight. So verse 18 asks this question then. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? And it goes on to talk about these people that try to do this with graven images. And they choose a tree that's not going to rot. We're going to have something that's going to last. And they're going to worship a hunk of wood. Think about that. He doesn't spend a lot of time on that. Verse 21, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understanding from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Jump down to verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Now God's asking us these things. So how are we going to compare? What are we going to compare God with? He says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created those things? These things that bringeth out their host by number. This is talking about the stars. Is it dark enough here in the nighttime to see the stars? You know, it's amazing, okay? Amazing. And yet scientists go to great extents to learn and to count the stars. And you know what? They keep finding more galaxies and more galaxies. And the stronger their telescopes are, they keep finding more. And God calleth the host by number. He bringeth them out by number. He calleth them by their names. Matter of fact, he's got names for all of them. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Okay, now that's the stars. That's his creation. That's the things that he made. We can look at and we admire those things and say, wow, God is so great and so powerful, and we're so small, and we serve this great God. Then verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? You can put our names in there. My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. That's how we feel sometimes. We at times feel like our way, this thing that I'm struggling with, this thing I'm battling with, is hid from the Lord because we're so insignificant. But if we consider creation, we're considering a great God, an almighty God that we can rest in. Okay? Verse 28. You know, there's something about asking questions, okay? And you ask questions, it gets people to think. Somebody said one time he doesn't like to ask questions because it makes him look ignorant. And I said, I don't like that idea because I think it's good to ask questions because it makes people think. We have to find an answer to this. If people are just going to make statements, okay, so that's what you think. All right, but I don't agree with that. But if they're going to ask me questions on that subject, it makes me stop and think. And so think about this. So have we not known, have we not heard that the everlasting God, if we struggle with being so insignificant, why am I not finding answers to my problems? Why do I have to face life like this? Okay, let's stop and think. Let's ask ourselves these questions. So have we not known, have we not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. It's an almighty God that we can rest in. Later we want to talk about how we truly can find this rest and the conditions of rest. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. It's the almighty God. Then verse 31, and thy that wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord. They that rest upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And in no way does it indicate here at all that, you know, when we wait upon the Lord, our troubles are going to disappear. Man, life is going to be just a breeze. It's all going to go well. It's not saying that here. It's saying that if we rest upon the Lord, if we wait upon the Lord, wait. I don't want to wait. Wait. Just wait. Rest upon the Lord. It says here that they shall run and not be weary. And you know, I like the German words right there. And the German says that we are going to run and not get discouraged. To me, that's beautiful. Vor nicht mutlos worn. Okay? We're not going to get discouraged. Why? Because we wait upon the Lord. We're resting upon God. That doesn't mean our troubles are going to be all gone. No, because our focus is on God. That's why. You know, we have the example in Matthew 14 about Peter, okay? You know, he saw Jesus walking on the water, and he says, Master, if that's really you, call me so I can come out and walk on the water too. You know, and he was able to do that for a bit. But you know what we like to do? We'd say, God, I'm okay with that, but if you would just take these troubles and calm the storms, calm the water down so that it's calm for me, and then I can do that. May that wait upon the Lord. But it's only when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus is when he started going under. We know the story so well. We use the example so many times. And we remind ourselves so many times of that. We need to at least. You know, in the midst of those angry waves is what Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter was too. Are we resting upon the Lord? Or are we getting discouraged? You know, we only get discouraged when we take our eyes off of Christ. When we forget on how great our God is. And we start focusing on how great our problem is, our struggle is, our difficulties in life. That's when we get discouraged. Yes. But you know what? Peace and rest is a result. Okay? It's a result when we keep our eyes on Christ. We're not going to have it unless we do that. Peace is a result. And so that's why we forget. We see these waves sometimes and we say, like the disciples did, Master, don't you care that we perish? Well, yeah, but if they would have called on him sooner. They were worried and tried all kinds of things. And finally he said, Master, we're perishing. Well, yeah, that's the way we feel sometimes. And he was able to calm those waters. He can calm it in us, in me. And so then he says sometimes, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And you know, that's the way we face sometimes as well. We won this victory. We are happy. We are peaceful about this thing. We've won this victory. Next time a challenge comes, you know what? I'm just going to turn to the Almighty God and it's all going to be okay. I'm not going to get discouraged next time. That's great if we don't, but you know what? We're human in times we do. You know what we need to do? Just call on God again. Yeah. So what he wants us to do? Are we at rest? Let's look on how we can truly find this rest and the conditions. I was saying rest is a result. It's a condition of something. Let's look at an Old Testament story as an example. 2 Corinthians 14. 2 Corinthians 14, I guess I didn't mention the title I've given this message, but it's found in here, and I've entitled it, O Lord, We Rest on Thee. 2 Corinthians 14, here we have an account of King Asa. We know well the stories of the Israelites and their kings and the ups and the downs and the good kings and the bad kings and the victories that they won and these challenges that they faced and the departure from God and going back to God again. But here King Asa was a godly king. His father Abijah, he died, and King Asa's son reigned in his stead in verse 1. Now notice in verse 2, 2 Corinthians 14 and verse 2, and Chronicles, I'm sorry, thank you. I keep getting this mixed up for some reason. 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 2, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. Notice what he did. And for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and break down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Here we have King Asa, a godly king. God gave him rest. But we see what he did in verse 3. He took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. He got rid of sin and idolatry. Okay, friends, this morning, if we want rest in our hearts, sin and evil needs to go. We're not ones to build idols, this idolatry thing of these strange gods. But you know what? There's people today, some too many of us at times, we come up with strange gods. There's people that call themselves religious, but they've got strange gods. They're not willing to give up for the sake of Christ, not willing to totally surrender. They're strange gods. And in order to have rest and peace in this almighty God that we briefly described, we need to get rid of the strange gods. Anything that's going to hinder from a total surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And those high places, those things that are important to us, okay? There's things that are important to us. And you know, the thing that gets mentioned so often is this in the world of technology. And recently, we got a little stand, a produce stand at our house, and I got this customer that came by, and she wondered about Vacation Bible School at church in the summertime. And I said, yes, ma'am, we still do that. Well, you know, I remember, and this lady's probably in her 40s, and she remembers years ago coming as a child to Vacation Bible School at Darbin Church. Black lady from town there, or from the community. And so I brought up the subject, said, you know, when we go out and pick up children, I said, there's a lot less today. I said, for one, probably moved off, and the other, you know, why is there less children out there to be picked up? She said, ever since technology came in to where everybody's got a device they can look at, they're not outside anymore. They're glued to their strange God. Now, she didn't say it that way, but they're glued to that, and mothers don't push them out of the house and say, go ahead to Vacation Bible School. No, technology is taking their time right now, and it is high places, and too many of us, we get glued to them things. Now, let me just warn you, it's going to rob us of rest and peace. We need to, I'm not saying get rid of them, but get rid of the high places in them. Get rid of whatever distracts us from total surrender and purity and holiness before an almighty God. Cut down the groves here, and to seek the Lord God of our fathers and do the law and commandments. You know, to rest in the Lord requires first a repentant and a converted heart, is what we see in these verses. A converted and a repentant heart. And do what verse 2 says about Asa. And you know, why does that bring rest? Why does that bring rest to us? You know, sometimes the devil wants to distract us in that rest and say, are you really forgiven? There's unrest. We find ourselves in unrest in that sometimes. But you know, God's promises are there, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It takes a repentant, broken heart. And we can rest in that because God keeps his promises of forgiveness. In verse 4, Asa commanded Judah to seek the Lord and to do the law and the commandments. You know, to find rest, once we find rest, a converted heart is going to go after God's commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. You're going to follow me. It's going to be what God would have us to do and to live. And we have the direction right here in God's word. And you know what? It actually means what it says. It actually means what it says. You can read this, especially, you know, God's word in the New Testament there. Jesus explained the ways of the kingdom. Paul and the other apostles explained on how to put that into practical everyday living. And it means just what it says. Simple as that. You know what? That brings rest. That brings rest. Now, verse 8. Asa had an army of men. They bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, out of Benjamin, bear shields and drew bows, 240,000. Now that's 580,000 is the army that Asa had. Okay? 580,000. That's a big army. Now, notice in verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,300 chariots. Now that's a million. That's over a million of them. Okay, so what chances, what odds are there that Asa was going to win a battle with 580 to 1,000? What are the odds, humanly speaking? Probably not going to make it. Is that the way it feels for us sometimes? What are the odds we're going to make it? How are we going to make it through this one? The things that are coming against us, the trials and battles of life, I have no idea what you are facing. Okay, that's why I can preach freely this morning, because I don't know what's in your lives. I don't know what you're facing. Okay, but sometimes the odds feel that great against us, and this is flat out discouraging. Yeah, if we see an army of a million, but you read, right? We said God is almighty. He's not controlled by an army of a million. He's not controlled by anything that comes against us. He is almighty. Notice what Asa did. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley. Asa had no choice. These people were coming. He had no choice but to take his 580,000 men against this army of a million. He had no choice, so he set the battle in array. You know what, friends? This morning, you and I have no choice but to face life and to face the challenge that comes sometimes. Sometimes our challenges and difficulties we face are due to choices that we make. Okay? They are. But we don't have to be discouraged in them. And we're only going to be as long as we see our problems and say, look, I've done this for myself. I've dug this ditch. I don't know. There's no way possible I could get out of here. And I don't know that this is just where I'm at. Let me remind you of something. We've got an almighty God that is willing to hear your cry. His ears are open unto the cry of people that want help. Years ago, I was talking to a lady that had once known God. She had lived a righteous life for part of her life. She had came out of the depths of sin and wickedness and had surrendered her heart to God, was living a pure life, but she left it all behind and walked back into darkness. Lived a life of horrible sin and immorality. I met up with her one day, and I spoke to her about that. And she said, Klaus, let me tell you something. There is no way possible that I could come back to God. I said, really? I said, if that's a fact, I said, then God isn't God. Oh. Well, she said, maybe I don't want to. I said, I think that's where the problem lies. Yeah. Let me tell you something, though. Let me finish the story. Praise God, she did come back. God is an almighty God, and he forgave her those sins. I witnessed that myself. I saw a changed person, a godly, changed, pure person that God had pulled out from the depths of sin again, graciousness, and brought him to that. There was a battle she was facing, but when she called upon almighty God for forgiveness and cleansing, he forgave her those things. And to cleanse her from all unrighteousness. And you know what? She died a couple years later. And I trust her. One of her last statements to me said, it's beautiful on the other side. Yeah, I think she's experiencing that now. I have no reason to doubt that. Because she called upon Almighty God, she was facing an army of a million, so to speak. But when she turned and faced God with these things and repented and became broken before God and humbled herself, God forgave and she found rest. Do we want rest? Sometimes we say we can't. Let's face an almighty God and say, God, I'll take you at your word. Take you at your word. You know, the other thing that happens when we struggle with these things, of these challenges in life. So we're dealing with these things and they roll around in our minds. And we're struggling with this, and we're trying to get grasp on this problem we're facing, this difficulties, this discouraging feeling, and we roll them around in our minds. Picture with me a snowball. You ever get snow here in Texas, New Mexico? Very little. But y'all know what snow is, right? Okay, so I grew up in Manitoba, Canada. And so fall and in the spring, we can make snow. Other times, it was generally too cold. So we take this snowball. We want to make a snowman, okay? So we pack this snow together. We start like right here. And we put it on the ground and we roll that thing in that wet snow. We roll it and roll it. And sometimes after a while, this thing is so big, it takes a couple of them to roll these things. And finally, we got this snowball that's 3 feet, 4 feet tall, whatever, however big we want we want to make the snowman, right? But as you're rolling that thing, it gets bigger and bigger. It's picking up more snow. That's the way our problems are in our minds sometimes. So we're rolling and we're surrounding our minds. This problem. We got this problem. We got to face this. How are we going to face this? What are we going to do about it? And this thing rolls and big, it's bigger and bigger and bigger in our minds. You know what? It blocks out God after a while. My friends, this morning, if you're rolling around that problem in your mind, turn to an almighty God, and that snowball is going to it's going to melt away. Yeah, in our minds. You know, the challenge may still be there, okay? But it's not going to get bigger. It's going to be as big as it might get. But we have an almighty God. Maybe we're finding ourselves with this blockage. Let's call upon an almighty God. He doesn't get weary. There's no way to understand him exactly on everything about him, but he doesn't weary. He gives power to the faint. And you know, these problems, these great problems in our minds that we have snowballed in our minds get us weary. But an almighty God wants us to call upon him. But now notice what Asa did, okay? He had no choice but to set his battle in array against this problem that he is facing. And then, notice in verse 11, here's the key to it all. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God. He didn't say, Master, don't you care that we perish? No, he says, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. He recognized an almighty, almighty God. That's what he recognized. He didn't cry out in discouragement. He says, you know, Lord, it's nothing for you. Whether it's with 580 against a million, it's nothing for you. He says, help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. And he won the battle. He won the battle. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Wow, what 580 men can't do, right? This was an almighty God that did this. And he recognized him. Asa recognized him, and in thy name we go against this multitude. Friends, this morning there's a way out of our challenges and problems that we face. There's a way forward. We can rest in God. This army was still there, but Asa said, we rest in thee, in thy name we go. And friends, this morning, that's how we can face life. That's how we can face the challenges of life. Go in the name of the Lord, out of a pure heart, out of a surrendered heart, out of an obedient heart. Out of an obedient heart. Psalm 37, verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him. You know, sometimes we see people that are struggling. They're not at rest. There's turmoil, okay? And there's unrest. And they're not sure how things are going to work out yet. And, you know, it's my tendency to try to do something so this person can be at rest. I'd like to remove the obstacle. Maybe extra cash would help. Okay? And if they have, make sure that there's a couple extra thousand in the bank account so that make sure that next month's bills can be paid, then they're going to be at rest and I've helped them find rest. What God at times wants us to do is just to find rest in spite of not knowing how next month's bills are going to be paid. Okay? It's not up to us to help, but to give rest to people. Okay? We cannot do that. Friends, this morning, we cannot give rest to people. Sometimes we need to help with circumstances, but we need to point them to a relationship with Jesus Christ to where they can trust, and not knowing the answer, Not knowing the answer, we can rest in an almighty God. And it's going to be okay. And it's going to be okay. You know, this past April, a few months ago, my mother passed away. Okay, she lived in Manitoba. She passed away, and she was in a care home the last little while, nursing home. But a few weeks before she died, I talked to her one day, and I said, so, Mom, did you sleep well last night? She said, not really. Now, Mom was not one to complain, okay? Mom was a very grateful person and not one to complain. Sometimes she said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be complaining. I said, Mom, you're really not. You're just kind of stating how you feel, okay? But I didn't really take it as a complaint. Anyway, she said, not really, but she said, the reason was because I had some pain in my back, and she said, I couldn't find a comfortable position, and therefore I couldn't sleep. But, she said, I thought about it, that Jesus is here with me, and it's going to be okay. And she was at rest. She was at rest. And let me tell you something about Mom. Most of you don't know Mom. But Mom was not one to have to tell her that and convince herself that somehow, if I convince myself that Jesus is here, I'm going to feel it. Mom lived that kind of a life. And if she gets in her mind, Jesus is here with me, it's going to be okay, she had rest. She had rest. I'm sure she would tell me that there was struggles, and I know there was. She was human, okay? But she lived that way. She had learned, in spite of a hard life, she learned to rest. Okay? Tremendous example for me. But we can do that. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, Thou would keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You know what? What are the conditions? Not lack of problems and trouble and struggles. No, it's our minds are stayed on God and we trust in Him. Now, how simple is that? It's simple to say, but it's a little harder to do. But then we can have rest, right? Isn't rest in peace? That's a result. It's the only way, friends, this morning we can have rest in peace is when we keep our minds and our hearts on Him, because we trust in Him. We trust in Him. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. Another example of the children of Israel. And there's a verse in the New Testament that tells us that the Old Testament and the life of Israel was given us as an example. And there's so many examples that we can take. From the children of Israel. But real briefly here, Hebrews chapter 3, it talks about Israel walking in the wilderness, facing these trials of life, and God said that they proved Him, they tested Him, they saw His work for 40 years, and when they came to the Jordan River, they weren't able to cross because of unbelief. Hebrews 3, let's just jump into verse 18. And to whom sware He that they should not enter into His rest? Okay, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, they couldn't enter into the land of Canaan, the land of rest, as the example picture we have there in the Old Testament, because of unbelief. Chapter 4 and verse 1, Hebrews 4 verse 1, let us, here this morning, therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. This morning, we have God's word. We have heard the word many a time. There is a promise to us that we can enter into rest. Here, now, already, a restful heart in spite of life that we face. There's a promise there. But if we don't believe in those promises, we're not going to have that rest. we're not going to have that rest. If we're not going to surrender our hearts to God, we're not going to get rid of that sin and unbelief and corruption and false gods and those high places. Or maybe it's simply a surrendered heart to God's will for my life, the things that I'm facing. You've been promised rest. You and I have been promised rest. But we're not going to experience that if we're in unbelief. But if we surrender, because unto us was the gospel preached. We've got it. We've had the word over and over. Go jump down to verse 9. Chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. The example of God creating the earth in 6 days, he rested on the seventh day. He was done with his work. Friends, this morning, I think what this verse 11 is telling us, that if we want rest, we have to quit fighting it. We're going to try on our own. We're going to win our own battles. We're going to face this. We're going to snowball this thing. No, we don't want to snowball this. We're just processing it to see if we can't find some solution that once these problems go away, then I'm going to have rest. Once we quit trying in our own strength to find rest and we surrender it over to God and say, God, it's all yours. I don't understand. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but we rest on you. We cease from our own works, from our own efforts, from our own way of finding rest. We're going to find it in the Almighty God. He says, let us labor therefore, in verse 11, therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. And so often that's why we don't have rest. My way is hid from the Lord. Why does he care about my things? After all, you see where I'm coming from, my family I'm coming from, or whatever it may be, and the things that I've been through. Do you want rest? Do you really want rest? We can find it. We can find it in Jesus. Let's cease from our own works, from our own trials, from our own things. Now, we need to just catch a glimpse here at closing yet of the eternal rest that God is promising. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Turn to Revelation 14, one verse. This is for those that are living a life of rest in this life. Not a life of free of problems and fears and struggles and trials. No, a life of rest in the midst of all that. Revelation 14 and verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Are you looking forward to that? Are you ready for that? Is that what your focus is on? There's a rest coming. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. It's here now already in the midst of it. But the eternal rest is coming. The eternal rest is coming. For me, that's why I think of my mother. I think of just the joy that is there for her, the hard life that she went through. But yet, the rest, to me, it's joyful. I told Mom, I said, I'll miss you, but I'm going to be jealous. It's going to be okay, but I'm going to be jealous of you. You know what? It's an example to follow, but I'm not following Mom. I'm only following her as she followed Christ. Okay? The rest is not in Mom. The rest, that's only an example. The rest is in Jesus Christ. Jesus is preparing a place for us. Go to Matthew 11. The invitation. Jesus' own invitation for us this morning. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where do you find yourselves this morning? Are you laboring, struggling under the life of whatever it is, wondering how you're going to make it? Jesus says, come. and are heavy laden. You're laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus is talking to living people like you and I this morning. And so we can experience this. The invitation is for us this morning to come and learn of him and realize who he is. Learn more about the Almighty God and find that rest. And he promises us, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Where are we at this morning? Are we at rest or are we restless? We restless this morning. Just not sure. Let's take an inventory of our lives. Where are we? If we're not at rest, what's causing it? Is it just unbelief? Is it strange gods? Is it sin in our hearts? Or is it just a lack of surrender to the will of God for my life? Where are we at? Jesus' invitation is come. Learn of me, and you shall find rest for your souls. Let's do that. Let's kneel for prayer.